live this morning in Skokie, Illinois, for the last in this six-part series on Emunah. And we began by defining Emunah. We talked about developing our connection to Emunah through our Yerusha, through our parents, through our Avos. Then we talked about it through ourselves. We talked about challenges, questions in Emunah. And then these last two discussions are about expressions of Emunah. Last week was about Tefillah. Today's about Bitachon. And we're going to try to define this word, Bitachon, which is a challenging word to define. And it's also a very complicated and nuanced concept. And it doesn't mean the same thing in every context, and it doesn't mean the same thing to everyone. But perhaps through a few thoughts, we could think about how this relates to our own Emunah and our own relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Emunah, perhaps simply said, Emunah, which is that awareness, that feeling, that presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives, that is the bedrock of Bitachon. If we want to translate just for the moment Bitachon, Liftoach, as trust, so we can only trust something that we feel, that we know, that exists. That's part of our awareness. So Emunah is the bedrock of Bitachon. Bitachon is also an expression and can be understood as an expression of our Emunah, meaning we all have a different kind of Bitachon if we have a different kind of Emunah. I'll give you a story. Famous story. I think I heard this, was first introduced to this character by the late Rabbi Rafal Pelkovitz, the husband of our Bubby, Rebbetzin Shirley Pelkovitz, she should live and be well. So Rabbi Pelkovitz once told me about a man by the name of Blondin. Blondin was a very famous tightrope walker in the 19th century, and he would do the most incredible, sensational feats. He was the first man to walk on a tightrope across Niagara Falls. So thousands, they advertised this tremendous spectacle. Thousands and thousands of people gathered and they watched him walk across from the United States to Canada on a tightrope with no harness. And he's walking over the raging falls and people are, they're just gasping at the incredible feat. Unbelievable. He walks back to the American side, not holding on. Unbelievable. On the American side, then he picks up, he takes a wheelbarrow and fills it with rocks. And he looks at the crowd. There's a huge crowd on the American side, a huge crowd on the Canadian side, and says to everyone, do you think that I can make it across the falls pushing a wheelbarrow full of rocks? And the people cheer, yes, they go crazy, yes. He walks back carrying the wheelbarrow of rocks. He gets back to the Canadian side and place goes bananas. They're screaming, you made it to the wheelbarrow. Unbelievable. So he dumps the rocks out of the wheelbarrow and he says, do you believe that I can walk back across carrying a person in this wheelbarrow? And everybody's cheering and yelling, yeah, we believe, we believe. So Blondin looks at one man who's cheering very enthusiastically. He says, sir, you ready to go in? And the man says, no, 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 no. So how much do we trust? Well, that's correlated to how much do we really believe. That's one way of thinking about Emunah, that Emunah and Bitachon are correlated to each other. Oh. A second way of thinking about the relationship between Emunah, our faith, our awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and our trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is that our Emunah can potentially regulate our behavior due to Bitachon, similar to that story, in very practical ways. So let's give an extreme story. There's an unbelievable maisa, story about the Briska Rav, Rav Yitzchak Zev Halevi Soloveitchik. Rav Belville was running away from Europe. As some of you are familiar, he escaped the Nazis, ended up in Yerushalayim. Great Gaon, died in the 1950s. Rav Yitzchak Zev Halevi Soloveitchik, the son of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Chidush Agriz, Rav Belville. He's running away from the Nazis, and he's in a wagon with several members of his family and a couple of others, and they're secretly trying to escape through Lithuania. And as they're going, the Briska Rav is just sitting there quietly with his eyes closed. As they get to a particular juncture, out of nowhere, a soldier appears, and he starts following the wagon, and he jumps into the wagon, he starts beating the people in the wagon. Meanwhile, the Birska Rav is still sitting there with his eyes closed, and he closed them even further, and out of the other side comes an officer, an army officer, and he tells the hoodlum who's beating them, get out of here, and they go on. And the Birska Rav, he told the people, he said, you know, when we say to ourselves, Ein Od Milvado, there's nothing more than him, with a capital H, Kiviyachol. There's nothing more. Ein Od Milvado. Nothing can reach us. For some reason, I heard some strange noises. So even though I had been focusing intently on Ein Od Milvado the entire ride, when we were getting to that intersection, the Birska Rav said, I lost my concentration on Ein Od Milvado. And that's how that guy came to start beating us in the carriage. But when I regained my composure and my focus on Ein Od Milvado, my awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's why the guy dispersed. And this is based on a Nefesh HaChaim. Nefesh HaChaim in Gimel Yud Beis, he said, Be'emes Inyan U'Sgula Nifla. It's an incredible Inyan and a Sgula. It's a treasure. It's a strategy. La'asur L'vatmel of Kol Dinin Ritzonas Acherim, to remove any judgment or other under other issues or desires of anything, forces shlo yuchlo lishlo bo, that he can't touch a person. Lo yasu shum roshim klal. When kishadam kovea belibo lomar Hashemu Elokim amiti ve'ein od movado yizbarach shum koach ba'olam. If a person really focuses to the fullest extent, then nothing else can reach them. Umovato belibo bitul gomer ve'ein mashgiach klal shum koach veratzon. Person doesn't focus on anything. There's nothing else in the world except ein od movado. And if that's the person's level of emuna, of awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the person, says Reb Chaim Volozhin, or the author of the Nefesh HaChaim, this chief disciple of the Vilna Gaon, that person transcends this world, and nothing can reach them. Nothing in the natural world can reach that person. So that will regulate how a person goes about their life. If a person has this ironclad, unflinching emuna, so then they can trust that Ein Od Milvado, nothing will happen to them. And not only that, they don't require at their level, that person's level of emuna, they don't require that much what we call hishtadlus, personal investment. Every person in this world is human and is required to navigate the human world in which we exist. That's called hishtadlus. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. And yet there are certain people who live on such a high level, whose emunos, closest connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is so high that their hishtadlus, their amount that they need to put in, is very minimal. That's what the Shem Yishmuel explains about Yosef HaTzadik. How could it be that Yosef HaTzadik is criticized by Chazal by putting in a good word by the Sara Mashkim? Please remember me when you speak to Paro. What do you mean, please remember me when you speak to Paro? That's something wrong with that? That's what we all do. We all say, you know, I have a guy, can you make a phone call? That's our shtadlis. That's our effort. And we need to do that. That's what, if you look, there's a huge section. My Chovos HaLevavos is divided into two pieces. The last section, the first book, huge section, like 30 pages on Bitachon. So the Chovos HaLevavos talks about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed the world that we should create and we should do Ishtadlus. We need to put in our effort. But if you're on that high level, that unbelievably high level of Emunah like Yosef HaTzadik, then your Ishtadlus is different. There's a story of the Baal Shem HaKadosh that he had a Gilim in Hashemayim. He was told by the forces, by the malachim, by the angels, he was told he should go to a certain place to meet an innkeeper to learn about bitachon, about relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One second. Just want to make sure that everybody is muted. Here's some background noise. Okay. So, the Baal Shem HaKadosh took a group of chassidim, they went with Alexei, the wagon driver, they pile into the wagon, they take off for this town, they end up exactly where they're supposed to, they pull up in front of a little kretchm, a little inn. And the Baal Shem stays in this little inn, and in this inn was the village tax collector. He was responsible for going around collecting all the taxes and bringing it to the feudal lord. He's sitting at the table in the inn. The Baal Shem is sitting there just watching him. And in comes a man, a very well-dressed officer, sits down at the table. He takes the shtek, he takes the stick, and he bangs it on the table 3 times. And he walks out. That's it. Baal Shem Tov eventually looks at the man. He says to him, "Sir, what is the meaning of those 3 knocks on the table?" So the man says, "Oh, sir, I'm the town tax collector. And when that man comes, it means that the taxes are due. And he bangs it on the table to remind me." So the Baal Shem says, "Well, why did he leave?" He said, "Well, he comes 3 times. And if I don't come after the 3rd time, I'm going to be incarcerated and my entire family is going to be thrown into jail if I don't show up with the money." So the Baal Shem says, "Well, you look very relaxed. You must obviously have all the money in the safe." And he says, "The truth is, you know, I really don't have anything. I don't have anything." So the Baal Shem says, "Well, how are you eating breakfast so calmly?" So the man says, "The truth is, Hashem is Barach, God will provide for me. And since I have a few hours till the guy is going to come back, I'm not worried. God will provide. Meanwhile, I'm going to enjoy my breakfast." So Baal Shem is sitting there, unbelievable. 2 hours left. Next hour, bang, 3 times on the table. The guy's back, as you can imagine. Next time, 3 hours later, bangs on the table 3 times, and he leaves. So now it's time. The tax collector has to go to the poritz, the feudal lord, and has to present the taxes. Meanwhile, the guy doesn't have a penny. So Baal Shem Tov says, "What are you going to do?" He says, "I don't have a penny, but God will provide. The Rebbe Shem will take care." So the guy gets up, he puts on his jacket, he walks outside, and he starts walking. Baal Shem HaKadosh is watching with the Talmidim through the window of this kretchma, and he sees that as the tax collector walks 3 steps down the block, there's a carriage that runs right by. The carriage stops, pulls back, and leans over. A guy, wealthy-looking guy, looks out of the carriage, and he's talking to the tax collector. He says something to the tax collector. Then he sees the carriage leave and then come back. Meanwhile, 2 seconds later, the guy in the traveling carriage starts taking out money, counts it out, and gives it to the tax collector. Unbelievable. Crazy. Meanwhile, now the tax collector comes back to his little kretchma, and the Baal Shem HaKadosh is dumbfounded. The tax collector comes back. He doesn't say a word to the Baal Shem. He picks up, he had forgotten something. He picks up a sandwich to take with him for lunch. He just walks out the door and heads over to the poritz's office. Meanwhile, the Baal Shem Tov sees that the carriage is still there. He runs outside to the carriage. The Talmidim are quick behind him. And the Baal Shem HaKadosh says to the guy in the carriage, he says, "Excuse me, sir, what just happened? What was that exchange? What did you pay for?" So the guy in the carriage says, "You know, I drive by here on occasion, and that tax collector, he owns this little kretchma, and he has some good whiskey there. And I asked him if I could purchase a huge amount of whiskey because I have a deal coming up that I want to trade it off. And initially, he gave me such a high price that I just couldn't take it. But then I realized, you know, the guy's an honest guy, and it really was something that I could benefit from. So I came back, and guess what? I paid him that amount." So the Baal Shem HaKadosh says, he says to the Talmidim, "Ad kan the level of bitachon." This is what bitachon is. The little kretchma owner, the tax collector, he says, "God will provide," and the Ribono Shel Olam provides. Same thing, Rav Shechter loves to quote. There's a footnote in the biography of the Chazon Ish, Pe'er Hador, where he talks about accepting upon a person themselves the health risks. This is nafkamina for corona and navigating all kinds of personal medical questions. So the Chazon Ish was supposed to have said, and this is it's in the footnote there, that a person takes on themselves a certain level of risk, a low, safe risk, Shomer Psalm Hashem, based on the level of bitachon. So on this level, a person who has this level of high level of emunah and a high level of bitachon, so obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides for that person. And it makes sense because, you know, there's a lot of discussion. There's a major controversy about Hashgacha Pratis. Like by the students of the Baal Shem HaKadosh, Hashgacha Pratis is ever present and is for everyone. Ein od mavado. So of course, not only is Hashem with me, he's orchestrating every aspect of my life. But for the Rambam, not everybody gets Hashgacha Pratis, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu could intervene. The same way that God created the world and somehow inexplicably removed his presence so that we could exist, so too, he, so to speak, refuses to get involved in every little circumstance, so only certain levels of Hashgacha Pratis. There's obviously many more hours we could talk about this. The Ramban also has a complicated view of Hashgacha Pratis, but perhaps if a person has such a high level of emuna and a high level of bitachon, so then they merit a high level of Hashgacha Pratis. So this is one way in which a person's emuna, thinking about their high awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can regulate their behavior, their hishtadlus. Because if they're at that level of emuna, that they have that awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that einod movado, that they trust in him 100%, so then they have a different way of relating to God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them a special Hashgacha Pratis. However, that's not the only way to look at this. Because part of the assumption of this approach, and this is, if you want more about these two different approaches, there's a great article by Rabbi Danny Stein in Tradition about these two different approaches. This is a very much like a, what we could call a Nevardiker approach to bitachon. That if you have strong enough bitachon, it will work out the way that you want it. But the Chazon Ish actually, in his Kuntres Emunah Bitachon, and following in his footsteps, Rav Volbi and others, do not think that that's the meaning of bitachon. Bitachon does not mean that everything will be fine. Even if the person has the highest level of emuna in the world, so aware, so in touch, Rav Volbi is present, mamish, walking with them their entire life, and therefore they're going to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to provide that money, that golden coin, or that thing that they're asking for. So then, if that high level does not translate into the result, then what does bitachon mean? How does it relate to emuna? So in this respect, bitachon, as an expression of emuna, does not affect what we do, what actions we take. It affects how we feel. Our high level of emuna, which translates through bitachon, creates an attitude, a feeling. And what is that? That if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is einod milvado, if God is present in my life all the time, if Hashem Yisbarach is right there, then I trust that there's a cheshbon, that God is fair and there's an ultimate calculus. And even if I'm asking for something and I believe that God can provide it, maybe he will, maybe he won't. But even if he doesn't, it's for the best. It might not be for the best in this moment. It might not feel the best and it might not be the best in this world. But in the ultimate grand scheme of everything, there's a plan. And therefore, I don't need to be anxious. If I didn't make that money in the stock market, okay, it didn't work out the way that I wanted to. If that happened to my car or to my health, Rachmana Litzlan Shem Yisbarach should give us only Besuras Tovos. But my emuna, my relationship with Hashem is that we're going through this together, and I know it's for some reason, and there's going to be some calculus. And where does this whole idea of bitachon come from? That we trust that everything is going to work out fine, that it's all going to be fair, it's going to be squared away in the end. That comes from emuna. It comes from emuna, but not just, and this is the new nuance of emuna that we're adding today to what we started with, not just like Rav Soloveitchik explained that emuna is the feeling of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God's presence in my life and his hand is resting on my shoulder. Chovas HaLevavos points out right at the beginning that trust comes from the confidence that that person you are looking toward to trust loves you, has your best interests in mind, cares about you. The first ingredient of trust is caring and love. And that is maybe even a deeper level of emuna than we've talked about until now. It's not just the emuna that there is a God, but this is so important that there is an emuna, there is a feeling that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about me and loves me. And that love, you think about it like how a parent loves a child, it would do anything for that child. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love is even greater than that, even stronger than that. Hashem loves me. And therefore, even if in the realm of circumstances, things happen that hurt me, that make me upset, that make me frustrated, but if I have that attitude of bitachon, that it's all going to be squared away, there's a plan, there's somebody who's watching, I can go through it with less anxiety, with less nerves, with less angst. Why? How do I have that bitachon? Because there is emuna at the core. The bedrock of that is the feeling that not just HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here, but he loves me. And he would not allow anything to happen to me that would not be in my best interest. And therefore, even getting away from the whole question of Hashkacha Pratis, whether this calamity, Rachmana Litzlan HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should save all of us from anything, whether this calamity was Hashkacha Pratis or not, but ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, and he's going to make it right, he's going to be fair. That's part of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even if he doesn't intervene, ultimately, he is there with me. There's a woman, a psychotherapist, whose name is Esther Perel. Esther Perel is a Belgian psychotherapist. She deals with a lot of marriage issues, and she is, of course, Jewish. Her parents are Holocaust survivors. She speaks all around the world. And she talks about, in the realm of relationships, that trust is about the ability to take risks and coming back to that relationship without being ashamed and feeling safe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we have emuna that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, more even than a parent loves a child, how many second chances he gives us? We're thinking ahead toward Elul, Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, before you go through the Yemei Adin, you have to remember the bedrock of emuna, of the aim, of the motherly love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, the omein, the nurturing, caring HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, I love you, I care about you. That's the base of our relationship. That's the basic foundation. And therefore, even if we slip up, we can come back. Because we can be, so to speak, vulnerable, kivyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Last week we talked about it in terms of davening. This week we can talk about it in terms of bitachon. If we really feel that we have emuna, meaning a relationship, a real awareness of the present that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that relationship is real, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, so then he knows us. He knows our shortcomings, so we can be vulnerable. We can make mistakes and come back to him because we have that emuna. That is what generates the trust. The trust in the second chances and the third chances and the fourth chances. The trust to take risks, and even though we fail, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there for us. That's the ultimate of emuna. Perel points out, and I'll quote one line, such a beautiful line. What is trust? It allows me to know that I'm not alone. That is one of the fundamental experiences that come with trust, is I am not alone. And then, Shtigl Tanach, in archetypal language, you could say that once we're thrown out of Eden, we are on a quest for trust, for that solid ground, for that sense that tomorrow will arrive when today ends. Well, if a person doesn't have emuna, so they are beset by tremendous anxieties, by feeling adrift. Who can they trust? How can they trust? But if we have emuna, if we have that awareness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us every step of the way, you know, like that old parable about the footsteps, the person at the end of their life, they look at God and God says to them, oh, you see on the beach, two steps of the footsteps we walk together through your entire life journey. And the person says, yeah, but I see some shtiklach over here that only have one set of footsteps. And I see those are the most difficult to kufa. So God says, yeah, that's because I put you on my shoulders. Those are my footsteps. It comes from a sense of emuna. Emuna recognizing that the person is not alone. Because we're not alone, we have the ability to trust not just in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but trust that there will be a better tomorrow. That ultimately, as Rav Kook describes, the whole world is coming to shleimus. It's the core belief in spirituality, in the concept of love, of friendship. All of these ruchani concepts, they all come from emuna. That's how we function as a society and as families. As interpersonal relationships, they're all built on trust. Where does that come back to? That comes back to our psychological side, our emotional side, our spiritual side, our neshama. The reason that we trust people is because we have these relationships. Those relationships, they're not physical, they're spiritual. They are tiny little crumbs of the deepest relationship, and that is the one that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we are not alone, that we can trust in him. And we trust him because we have that awareness. So emunah It's not a yes or no. It's not binary, either I have it or I don't have it. It's something that we nurture. It's the awareness that we grow within us to remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us, that He loves us, that He cares about us, that He believes in us, and that we're here for a reason, on a shlichus for Him, that we're going to come back to ultimately to Him, and that He's proud of us. He wants to see us succeed, and He's going to continue to give us chances. Halavai, when we go into Elul this year and every day of our lives, we nurture, we strengthen, we build that sense of emunah, that awareness. We express it through our davening. We express it through both our behaviors in terms of our hishtadlus, that yes, we do hishtadlus, but we remember when we go to the physician, ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the healer. We ask Him. We go into a business practice. We know that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets everything from Rosh Hashanah. All these different things that we do in terms of navigating our bitachon and our hishtadlus based on our emunah, but more than that, we have an orientation that creates a feeling. It all goes back to that aim, that omen, that sense of feeling, that we have that warm embrace, that motherly coming home feeling that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of us, that He's nurturing us, that He loves us, He's going to keep giving us more chances to do the best that we can, to be, He knows us, we could be vulnerable with Him and be the best that we can with the support that He gives us over each and every day. Thank you all for joining. Stay healthy, stay well, be matzliach, have a great rest of the summer.